Hello, this is Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. Today's episode is a bit different. It's prophetic, meaning God spoke it to my spirit, and it's also instructional. Therefore, if we do what the Lord says we should do, then we will see results in our lives. We will see change in our families and our situations, and ultimately we'll see the world follow suit and changes will happen there as well. But the change begins with us. God can change the world one person at a time. Just like change came and began with Jesus Christ, so it will be with us. If we take the word of God and put it into action, God will intervene on our behalf and change things around us and through us. So let me give you a little bit of the background before I get into the prophetic word and instruction. The Lord says we are in a war of words. Everything in our world is voice activated. Now, voice activation we're familiar with in technology, but this is a law that God placed in the earth from creation. God saw darkness. He saw an earth without form and void, but he called light into being. So God set the example in the book of Genesis on how we're supposed to be speaking in the earth. You don't speak the situation. You've heard me say this before. You don't speak the situation, but you speak the solution. Everything we see around us is voice activated, and that's what the Lord is saying. And there is a war going on with the words that we're speaking. The Lord put a law in place called seed time and harvest. Now, we know what that means agriculturally, but it also works with our words. Our words are seeds. God gave us our mouths and words to create, and that's how he created things at the very beginning. So that is the pattern that's been set in motion for us. And this is what's happening in the world. We're having whatever we speak. It's a law that's working whether or not we understand it. Here's an example, the law of gravity. It keeps our feet on the ground whether or not we're conscious of it in our daily activities. Again, you're an airplane. We don't often think about the fact that it's the laws of lift and thrust that are causing the plane to fly, but it's there. And these are just some of the invisible laws that are at play in the earth. And what God is saying is we want to see certain results. We have to make changes within the laws that he's placed within the earth. We're mentioning things that sound like science. However, all science, in fact, all manner of learning on earth have its origin in spiritual laws that God put in place. Let me make it plain. God created the heavens and earth. Therefore, God knows how he put things together. He knows how everything works. And it is only God who can reveal to mankind how to fix our lives. Now think about it. If you have a car and it gives you an issue, you take it to a mechanic. You even take it to a dealership because they understand how that make and model of car operates. So now let's look at the human vessel. The issue for most humans is that we deny that God is our creator. But who else put us here? Who else is taking credit for creating the stars and the moon and the sun? Who else is taking credit for creating mankind in his own likeness and his image and also breathing his own breath into our nostrils? No one. No one says that but Almighty God. In fact, I like what it says in Isaiah 44, verses 6 through 8. This is God speaking through the prophet. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. Beside me, there is no God. And who, as I, shall call and shall declare it, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people? And the things that are coming and shall come, let them show them unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have I not told you from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. And it's interesting because he's talking about who he is. And he calls himself the Lord, which means Jehovah, Yahweh, the eternal God. But he also says he is king. In this case, he says king over Israel. But the Bible also tells us he's king over the earth. And he's also redeemer, our savior, the one who redeems us. But he said he's also the Lord of hosts. He's the God of the angel armies, so he protects us. God has given you his street creds. All we need to do is look around us. The evidence is there. God set it all in order. He appointed the people, and he tells us what's coming. If we dare to listen, he tells us how to get out of situations and issues. If we dare to listen, who else does that? No one. And that is why the Lord says, is there a God besides me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. God gives us words. Isaiah 55:8-11. God expects something to come forth. He expects something to bud forth from us. And it's what's in that word. And that's what got my attention. It's because so many people get a prophetic word. And I know in the last couple of years or so, you have all kinds of prophets and people speaking prophetic words. And people are, yay, yay, doing cheers and hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But nothing happens. And people are like, well, was the prophet wrong? Did the prophet not say? Well, it doesn't work that way. God gives us words to speak so that we can bring them forth. They're just not something there just to make us feel good. But it's meant to come into our hearts and our spirits for us to create and bud and bring forth whatever that word says. And that's what God says. It's going to accomplish what where he sent it. It's not going to come back void, but to bring forth what God desires in our life. And he says a prophetic word comes so that we can receive the word like the ground. We must receive the water, and it's the water of the word. And then let the Holy Spirit work that word in your life. And the Lord called it yielding to the process. And it's the process done through the power of the Holy Ghost. And this is important because we talk about the washing of the water in Ephesians 5:26, where it says how we're sanctified and we're cleansed through the washing of the water by the word. So when we receive the word, whether it's from the Bible or from what something that is spoken directly from the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to let that word come into us. We receive it. We water it with thanksgiving, with praise, and we speak the word. We keep it and meditate on it. Just like God told Joshua in Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Okay, so that again, the washing of the water of the word happens when we meditate on it, and that thing goes in you. What's interesting thing about God's word is, it may look like words on a paper. It may sound like just a prophetic word, but once you take that thing and start meditating on it, that thing will take root inside of you, and it will actually start speaking to you. It'll start coming out of your spirit, and that's when you know that it's taken root. And it's a powerful process, because what may seem like just something that tickles your ears or something that makes you feel good for a moment, when you meditate on it day and night, as he told Joshua, you will have success. That word will come to pass for you if you don't faint. And that's what the Lord was saying. We have to yield to the process of meditating on it. Yield to the process of let the Holy Spirit wash us. Whether it means renewing our mind with the word. Sometimes God can give you something so big, a promise so big, that you don't know how you're going to make it, how it's going to come to pass. I'm just this, or why do I want to do that, Lord? Because it's beyond my means. I'm not educated. I can't do this. And I think the last message we talked about Gideon, how Gideon was the least of his family. So you have to understand, God speaks something to us that's bigger than us. And to bring it to pass, we really have to war with the words that are in our spirits, a war with the words that have been spoken by our families, by our circumstances, by our past. And so there's a war going on for God's word to come to pass in your life. And if you consider your body the ground, that the word comes to water, what seed is in there do you want to bring forth? When God speaks something, if that's what you want, you have to take hold of it and meditate on it. You have to ponder those things in your heart. Because when God speaks to us, especially when it comes through the Holy Spirit, it's treasure. And even when you're reading the Bible and their word may pop off the page and just hit your spirit, that's treasure that God has for you. You take that and you hold it and you meditate on it and you say, thank you, Lord, I receive that. I receive that in Jesus' name, and begin meditating on it. And put your name in the scriptures and speak it out. So I'd say, for instance, on Joshua 1:8, I let this word not depart out of Paula's mouth. And then Paula should meditate on the word day and night. And then Paula should observe to do all according to what's written therein. Then shall Paula make her way prosperous. And then Paula will have good success. Put yourself in the word. Make it personal. Take that thing and meditate it. And watch God move in your behalf. Because what happens is when it takes root in your heart, when it takes root in your heart, faith is developing. faith to bring that word to reality in your life begins to take root within us. And this is the only way that the word of God is going to come to pass in your life. Whether it's a prophetic word or the word is in that Bible, you have to make it your own if you want to make your way prosperous and have good success in the things of God. The difficulty in our time is that the world has another narrative that they've been speaking through the news media, through the government, through circumstances. And that word is also battling against and warring against the word that God is speaking for our individual lives. It's not from God. It's a word that's demonic. It's based on the curse. It's a word when they're talking about viruses or whatever out here, they're talking about something that's going to bring sickness. When they talk about how many people died, how many people got it, they're trying to instill in you faith to receive sickness and death. Don't do it. When you hear people talking about shortages here, shortages there, you're not going to have a job, or this is going to be a mandated, so you're going to lose your job if you don't take this or do that. What they're trying to do is put a negative curse within you. They want you to receive their word. And so right now, in this day and time, you're going to have to make a conscious, deliberate effort to take God's word and meditate on it, because the world is saying something entirely different. The world wants you to believe one story. God is saying this is not true. There's another story. So you're going to have to get in God's presence and whatever you're hearing and question it. Say, God, is this you? God, what do you say? I heard the news say this, but what do you say? And God will tell you, there is no shortages. How do I know that one? He's been telling me that. There are no shortages. He just says what's out there is in the wrong hands. But if his people will call forth, if his people will speak abundance, it will come out of the wrong hands and come into their hands. So people, you have to understand that there's things that may look like they're true, but they're only true because no one has countered it. No one has stepped forward and said anything to go against it. It kind of reminds me of some of those old Westerns where you see bad guys shooting up and doing stuff and whatever, and people are fearful. So people just go along with him, give him whatever he wants. Why? Because he's got a gun. He's going to shoot us. Think about it. That's what happened in the Westerns. But when a sheriff comes in town, whether it's Matt Dillon or somebody, and they come up, okay, it's going to be law and order here. There's a law here. You're going to obey the law. And once that happens, things change. Why? There's a lawgiver. There's a king. There's somebody in order. And that's who God is to us. Hallelujah. And I'm hearing that scripture. It's in Isaiah 33, where God says, he talks about, I'm the king. I'm the lawgiver. You know, I'm the judge. He's telling us who he is. So regardless of what happens in the world, God's position has never changed. We're talking about Yahweh, the one who always is and always will be. He's been here before us. He'll be here long after us. So he's the one we need to be focusing in on in his word. God is asking us, take his word and yield to the process. And he said, now, if you're saved, you're not appointed for the curse. You're appointed for the blessing. But the choice is yours. You can be saved going to heaven and still live in a curse. Why? You choose to believe a word other than what God is speaking. But you have to understand, the reason God has called you is to show forth his praise in the earth, to show forth his glory in the earth. So you are a new creature in Christ. You have a new family. God is your father. Jesus is your big brother. You have a new inheritance. Everything that belongs to God is yours. Everything that Jesus has your joint heir with. So now you're in a new family. You should have a new attitude, a new outlook, because God is your father. So you have to understand, if God is my father, he's going to take care of me. If God is if God is my father, he's going to protect me. That's who he said he is. He's the Lord of the angel armies, which means we can call forth his word and 12 legions can come to our defense. So we have to understand that what side we're on and whose words we're going to speak. And that's what we will see come into our lives. Now, so many Christians in this hour have given up their faith to follow after science. Listen, science is a discovery of what God created. Yet the world of science tries to deny the fact that God even created anything. So to follow after science is an error. It's to follow after those who don't believe in God. It's to walk in the curse. Now, you should expect to do some things to take care of yourself and some of the things you should adhere to. But if you're going to deny God to follow after science solely, you're in trouble, because science don't know what they're doing. And there are doctors and there are people out there who will tell you they don't. But you need to put your promise and your hope in God alone. Put his word back in your mouth and don't let it depart. And then cast down every other thought or word that opposes what God is saying. Now, it doesn't mean you have to go out there and start fights. No. Guard your heart from stuff coming in. And I know what God says. I hear what they're saying, but I believe God. I believe God. And speak to God and water your word with praise and thanksgiving, and that thing will come to pass in your life. So put God's promises back in your mouth and yield to the process. And we talk about meditating on the word day and night. And here's the other thing. As the word says in Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask and think, according to the power that works in us. It's according to the power. Now, many people can quote Ephesians 3:20. Oh, they talk about God is able. Oh, they sing about God is able, God is able, God is able. Hey, we know God is able. But are you able to go along with God? Are you willing and able to be obedient to God? And that's the big question. It's like the leper that came to Jesus and said, if thou will, thou can make me clean. Well, Jesus' response was, I will. Be thou clean. And that's what God is saying today. He's saying, God, if you will, hey, you can make me wealthy. Lord, you can take care of any shortages. You can take care of me if you will. And God is saying, I will. Just ask me. Then come to me and tell me what is it you need? What do you want? And we have to really be upfront with God in this time. He's speaking to us right now. It's when he speaks his word, whether it's in that Bible or to your spirit, that is the will of God. And Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. And what did he tell you? The thief was here to steal, to kill, and destroy. So anything that's trying to steal from you, to kill you, or destroy you is not from God. It's from the thief. It's from the devil. So you're going to have to learn how to war with your words, with the prophecies God's given you, with the words you've found in the Bible, and stand. Take a stand against the enemy and yield to the process. No matter what your mind is thinking, no matter what people around you are thinking, allow the Holy Spirit's power to work through you, and you will see results in Jesus' name if you don't give up. Now, if you've been one of those who've been going with the world and have kind of neglected what God has told you, repent. It's easy. Get back on your faith. Get back on your faith. Get back on your faith, put the word in your mouth, and start meditating on it day and night. Now, for me, God has had me meditating in the book of Ephesians. And he even told me last night, I want you getting back into Ephesians and reading it more. He had more depth of that scripture to reveal to my spirit. So that's the first thing I've been doing this morning. And before when I got the message, I got it at the same time. He's giving me instruction of where to go. And also lately, he's been telling me there are things in my life. He said, it's harvest time. Call it. Call forth your harvest. Call it day and night. So that's what I've been doing. I didn't let those words drop to the ground. God said, call forth my harvest. You better believe it. I went back through everything he said he promised me, and I've been calling it day and night. Even in my sleep, the Holy Spirit will bring it to me, and I will call it. Why? I want my harvest. If it's mine and sitting out there, I want it. So this, I'm not listening to what the world is speaking. I'm not listening to those things. Yeah, they're out there, but that has nothing to do with me. I'm in God's kingdom. God is my Father. He takes care of me. And when I speak the word of God, and the same is true of you, the angels are set in motion. They're being dispatched on our behalf. The ministering spirits are there to help us bring to pass whatever God says when we say what God says and not what we feel and not what people think and not what other people are saying, not what the news is saying, not what this. No, they only hearken. And this is according to Psalm 103:20. They only hearken to the voicing of God's word. So keep God's words in your mouth, and you'll see a change in your situation. And yield to the process. Don't fight the Holy Spirit. Because I can tell you that the Holy Spirit is speaking some very big things right now. Things that will, they're beyond anything we can ever imagine or think. And that's where we're in that Ephesians 3:20 mode. This is big. So we can't see ourselves as small anymore. We just say, need to see ourselves as willing and obedient vessels and let God move through us. Because situations have taken such that God's going to need all his people out there demonstrating the goodness of God, the kingdom of God in all of this mess. And that's all he needs, is for us to demonstrate who he is in this hour. And that's what he's saying. Don't take the words of the enemy. Cast down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and his word for your life. Don't take it. You learn how to swat that ball. The enemy will throw something in your court. Hit it back. They try to throw it back. Hit it back. Say, like Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4 when he was in the wilderness. And the enemy, the devil knows the word. He'll speak the word. Jesus said, it is written. Why? Jesus heard what the Holy Spirit was speaking to his spirit. how to combat the enemy. He was warring with his words. And you too need to get in the battle and understand whatever is in your life is because of the words you're speaking. So if you're not seeing the promises of God, check your words, check the seed, and realize when God speaks a word, it doesn't return to him void. It's supposed to return to him looking like the very thing he sent it to. Like when he spoke in our lives and made us to conform with the image of Jesus Christ. We're not going to come back to him looking like anything but Jesus Christ if we continue in the things of the Lord. We're supposed to be rooted and grounded in him, walking in him, in his word, in his way, in his suit, if you will, in his character, his nature. That's not us. That's not of the world. So these words are part of the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. They're part of the new thing that God wants to do in our lives. So for us to live out the life of Christ, we're going to have to speak where we want to go and go where God is directing us and using his words to get there. Now, I hope this was a message that helped you. I know it helped me significantly as God has been ministering to me. But when he said, I need to put this word out about war with our words, I knew that this was going to be something else. Different than it's been before, because we've talked about it before, waging a warfare with prophecy. But this is saying why it's done, how it's done, and the purpose of that prophecy in our lives. This has been Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. I pray that you can manifest what God has for you in this season, beginning in February, in the name of Jesus. Until next time.